I'm thankful for Jesus this morning.
Amen.
It's an amazing thought to me that that he cares about me. I sit and think about things like that sometimes, and I think about how big his creation is and about all that he's done and can do and how big God is. I don't know if you've ever thought about it like that, but when you start thinking about how big God is, it make you feel pretty small. And yet the scripture teaches us that he cares for us. And you don't have to, maybe in this world you've got to do something or be something to get people's attention or to make yourself important, but you don't have to do anything or be anything but you this morning to be as important to God as anything can be. You are important to God, and I appreciate that this morning, that God cares about me and that he's mindful of me. And I got a little thought I'd like to work with, maybe a little bit, maybe just mainly instructional, I don't know, but look at the way God, the way Jesus dealt with people. Mm-hmm. When he was here, he was willing to deal with people. And I'd like to think about that a little bit this morning. Over in Luke, the 7th chapter, about the 36th verse, I think, it says, when one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. Well, if you get the scene of this, Jesus was, Jesus' life mission was about touching people. And he's doing it everywhere he goes. That's what he's about. Right? And so he's there and in this situation, and I would suppose that this would be a very awkward situation. It wasn't normal for anybody to do what this woman did. It was very abnormal. And Jesus, knowing all of this, he didn't seem to care. Did he?
No, he didn't.
Now, you and I care a lot about a lot of things.
Okay.
We don't want to be embarrassed by, I mean, what do I do with myself while this woman's doing this? Do I look around at everybody? I mean, I would have been so awkward at doing this that you and I generally want to not be awkward, right? I don't want to feel awkward. I don't want people to look and say, he's embarrassed, look how red his face is, or he's fidgeting, or you get this crook smile on your face. You respond to things. I don't know, it doesn't say what Jesus did. But Jesus was in control of this. He knew what it was about. He knew that. Now, if this man was a prophet, he'd know what manner of woman this was. I want to tell you, Jesus knew more about that woman than anybody else, even including the woman. He knew totally about who and what she was, and he let her do it anyway. He cared for her. He loved her. And he wanted what was best for her. And do you know today, He does you too.
The same way.
He does you, and as awkward as you can make it, he'll accept it anyway. So this is the scene that this is in. So Jesus deals with it, and there's people around. It's not like it's just, there's people around to see this, and it's going to make an impression. And some people are going to say that Jesus is a bad person because he was with a bad, he let this bad person do this, right? But Jesus allowed it to happen. So the man that had invited him to eat with him, well, Jesus is an important person. And you know how people are. Once somebody gets some notoriety to them, everybody wants to be their friend. I remember one of my cousins one time, he was actually in the back of a pickup truck, him and some other young boys, and the truck wrecked and throwed him out, and they got hurt and all, and there was a settlement, and he ends up as a teenager with about $40,000. Oh boy, did he have friends. $40,000? Get you friends. I mean, especially back in that day. He got him a car, and you never saw that car anywhere that it wasn't full. Because he had friends. Well, this is the way Jesus is when he gets to be, this is Jesus. People are talking about him. Will you come and eat? You come and eat, you know how people are. I want to tell you, Jesus is going to deal with everybody. You say, well, that guy's so proud, and he just wants Jesus there for a reputation. Do you know Jesus is willing to go anyway? Jesus ain't cutting you off because of what? Jesus is after us, see? Jesus wants to deal with all of us. It's not about how Jesus deals with us, folks. It's how we deal with him. What are you doing with Jesus? Jesus wants to deal. He wants to talk with you, walk with you. He wants to be personal in your life. It's not him that's not there. It's you that's not there. He's there. He was there for that woman. He was there for the Pharisee. The Pharisee was a man that was supposed to be top-notch guy in society. You don't get no higher than a Pharisee. He's the most educated, the smartest, the most spiritual. He's the highest that you can get there. Jesus goes to his house and eats. A sinner comes in and he lets her wash his feet. He'll go to any extreme.
Amen.
He'll go to any extreme to talk with us.
That's right.
Well, the man must have, if you'll allow me a little bit of liberty to also put myself in to the Pharisee's situation now. Now here he asked the most popular man of the time to come on in and eat with him.
Right.
Make him look good.
Right?
Right? Yeah. Well, here's an open-minded man. Here's a man that he's had Jesus right there eat with him and discuss things with him, and maybe he was right there on his level, right there on Jesus' level, had him in there. I wonder what he thought when this woman slips in there and starts doing this. Maybe his face was red. Maybe then he's saying, what is my guest doing? Now this is going to go all over town. I don't know. You surmise a number of things that could have happened. But within himself, he didn't say this out loud, folks. He said it within himself that, oh, I got this guy pegged now. He can't be a prophet. If he was a prophet, see, he was wrong about one thing is what that a prophet would do. He assumed if you're a prophet, you wouldn't let somebody like this anywhere close to you. Jesus, being the ultimate of the prophets, let the woman come right in. Because he really did. See, Jesus ain't afraid of you. He's not afraid of what you've done. Your sins is not too big for our Savior. Your problems and your difficulties in life and your environmental persuasions and all the things that made you watch. He ain't afraid of those things. Jesus knows that if you give him your heart, he'll correct you in the sin business. He'll make it, and you won't be in that place anymore. So, she's one of the worst sinners. She won't be when I get through. It's what I came to do, is to alter that life. Well, he says then within himself, this, if he was a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this was. Well, again, this is our Lord, and I want us to take special attention to this. Jesus did not rebuke Simon. He didn't say, I know what you're thinking. You don't think I'm a prophet, let me prove it. Boy, he would have straightened up in with it. You just thought I wasn't a prophet because I let her say, you just thought that, show you what kind of prophet I am. I'll tell you a lot more about yourself if you want everybody around here to hear it. And they'd probably say, no, okay, that's enough. You're a prophet. I don't want everybody to know. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus did.
All right.
Jesus cared for that woman, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He cared for Simon too.
He did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
He cared for Simon too. And he says, and Jesus answering after he thought that, he answered, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. Now I want to ask you something. If Jesus would say to you, see, Jesus is asking, what a gentleman. Jesus is asking permission. Because it ain't going to do Simon any good otherwise.
Okay.
Simon, I've got something to tell you. If Jesus was here today and said, I got something to say to you, what would you say? Now, I know how we are with one another, and Lord help us.
All right.
We'd be a lot better off to be a lot more pliable about what people say. I know people say things that's silly sometimes. People will think they know something that they don't have a clue about. And they'll want to tell you what they know that they don't really know. So I know it would be foolish to start saying, I'm going to do whatever everybody tells me to do. You'd be running around all over the place. Because some people would tell you you ought to move, and some people would say you ought to stay. Some people would say you ought to do this, and some over there. Some say you oughtn't stand up and talk. Some say you ought to talk more. You'd have so many opinions about what people would say. But we would be a lot better off if we had the attitude that I will receive what's good to receive. If somebody's got something to say that can help me, let me be humble enough to be able to receive instructions. Not everybody's foolish hearted. Not everybody's quick talking. There is people that discern and see things that we might be better off by saying what Simon said. Master, speak on.
That's what he said.
Can we say to the Lord, speak on. If you want to come and heap some praises on me, any of you, speak on. If you've got something good you want to say about something I did, if you like the way I look, if you think I'm good looking, go ahead and tell me. If you think I'm a funny guy, go ahead and tell me. If you think I'm special, go ahead and tell me.
All right?
Speak on. Speak on. That is the way we are. Speak on. Lord, if you got some praises to heap on me, speak on. If you got something to make me, speak on. That ain't what Jesus was saying. Simon, I got something that you need. I got something that's going to better you. Would we be willing? Jesus is wanting to deal with us today. But he ain't going to deal with us like he did with Simon. He actually asked him permission by saying, Simon, I got something to tell you. Simon could have said, I don't think I'm in a place to hear this. I don't want, no, I don't say that. You ever had somebody say that?
Yes.
Not long ago, I had something. I said, you want me to tell you what? They said, no. Don't want to hear. Put your hands on you. Don't want to hear. Okay? Well, you ain't going to hear. Speak, Master. Is that what he said? He said, Master.
He sure did.
Say on.
Say on. He did.
What is it that you want? What is it that you want to impart to me? You need this, Simon, if you're going to understand. There were certain creditors which had two debtors. And one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose, I like that answer. That's probably what I'd do. That seems like an obvious answer. But sometimes I don't get it obvious. So, I mean, sometimes I'm wrong about that, and that's the way he felt, I think. I suppose, if you look at it that way, that the one that was forgiven the most would love most. Jesus said to him, Simon, thou hast rightly judged. Did you get that, Simon? I'm here because I love all of you. And you need forgiven. But you only owe about $22. And this woman that comes in, she needs forgiven. And she owes about $220.
Okay.
Now, where does that leave y'all? Simon, get this. You know, it really isn't about how much sin and where we've been, as much as it is as an understanding. This is what Jesus is going to say here. This is about an understanding of what you feel like you are. If you feel lost and undone, and you feel yourself when God deals with you as a comparison to Him, you'll feel like you owe Him everything. You do. You do. If you lived a pretty good life and you've been a pretty good person and you've helped people and all that and you don't get saved, where do you go? Same devil's hell everybody goes to. You need the Lord. Well, the Lord wants to deal with us. He wants to talk with us. I think today that it's fairly likely in a group this size, I'll be honest with you, my real belief is that everybody needs the Lord to help them all the time. And I think every one of us has things, no matter preacher, say 50 years down to you just got saved, everybody needs the Lord to help them. And we all have places that the Lord wants to help us with in our lives. There is places that He reveals that we never get over. We have His grace to deal with them. Am I wrong? There's things that we always continually have that we need grace to live our lives with. The Lord knows those things. I believe in a group like this that the Lord is wanting to say to us, I got something to say, but He's not going to say it until you say, say on, Lord. And He may say, you are not giving me your full attention. You are not giving me your full devotion. He may say, you are being slack about your spiritual life. He may come and say, if you keep going the way you're going, you'll never make it. The Lord simply is going to say, I got something to say to you. If you knew what it was, He wouldn't have to say it. I got something to say to you. Who can say, Lord, say on? Tell me. Tell me what it is. Now, I don't know how much to say here in this place, but I know as humans sometimes we get contrary. And this is a funny thing to me. I've talked with about my wife a lot of times. It's an amazing thing to me. But if you see somebody that's doing something, and I actually got a certain thing in my mind that I'm gonna say, but Brother Carl is the one that told me, but I'm not gonna say it because I don't know how far to go with this. But sometimes you could tell somebody that's hurting you, and their response is, that just makes me want to do it more. Right, Brother Carl? You tell me you want to do something. I say, that ain't good for you to do.
Right.
And you say, you telling me that just makes me want to go and do it all the more. Why? Now, why? Lord comes along and says, that's hurting you. I'll just do it more then, Lord. Speak on. What do you got to say to me? We have meetings. Why? Why? You here today saying, I don't want the Lord to say nothing to me. You come to the wrong place. We come here. Pray about it. Get together. Pray for the minister. So that we can say, Lord, say on. What do you come for? I want to hear what the Lord says. Well, I know how we are about me. You may not have enough confidence in me to get over the idea that I'm human and may be putting a prejudice on my, or prejudice spin or a view on what I'm saying to you. That's okay. But don't do that to Jesus. Because Jesus knows what he's saying. He knows what he's trying to get to. He wants to get down to the place that he knows the future. He knows the road that you're on, and if you stay on that road, you're going to be in the wrong place. He knew this man thought that, and it wasn't. He couldn't have thought anything else. The man wasn't in the place to think anything else. This was the way he was patterned from a child to think. This was the order that he would have naturally thought. But Jesus said to him, let me tell you something you don't know. You don't know what my mission is. You don't know what we're trying to accomplish. You see in things in this black and white. Let me tell you something else that you don't know. You don't know that this woman is going to make a great candidate for the kingdom of God. This is going to be somebody with great devotion. An outstanding life for God. If I get a hold of her. Let me tell you something. You don't know. When you're driving down the road or you see somebody that is less than attractive to you in the manners of their life, or they're somebody, a drug person or something like that, don't say the Lord can't do something with that.
That's right.
The Lord, that's what he came for. He wants us to understand what, when that person gets a deliverance from Christ, what is that person going to do? You may have somebody that sets us on fire. With that guy, Jesus would say, let me tell you something. You don't know. Don't set yourself against that. Let me speak to you.
Amen.
That's somebody I want you to win.
Amen.
They're winnable.
That's so.
Lord, help us. What must I do? Over in, I'm going to do Mark's version of this. Mark 10.
Okay.
Verse 17 says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now, I'm going to just say, as a side note, Jesus wasn't saying he wasn't good. Jesus was actually saying that you just called me God. If you said that I'm good, why did you do it? There's only one good and that's God, so you just called me God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, and this is why this part of the verse is why I picked Mark over Matthew's version, is because this phrase here is not in the other one. It said, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him.
Yes, he did.
He loved him.
Yes.
I think, I've heard it different ways, but my mind is that this was a sincere young man.
Yes.
I believe he was sincere. I believe he had kept the commandments. He said he did. There's no reason to assume that he didn't. He said he had kept the commandments. He come asking what he could do to eternal life. So my assumption is here's an honest person that's kept the commandments. I don't think he come to the Lord to get praise, to say you're great. He come to the Lord with a sincere notion of something that was in his heart. He had kept the commandments, and yet there was a need in him.
He had a need.
He had a need.
That's so.
There was something that wasn't working. It wasn't satisfying. He had plenty. He was blessed. He had kept the commandments, but something was lacking in his life.
Yes.
And so he comes to the Lord. What must I do? What is it that there's no one? Well, do this. I have.
That's what he said.
I have. It's what I've done. But there's something that's not working. And Jesus loved him.
Yes, he did.
Why is that said there when God is love? Why is it said there like that when who doesn't Jesus love? Isn't that already the given? Jesus loves everybody. But why did it say he beheld him and loved him? Well, there's a reason why that phrase is there. It's because he's about to impart to him, and that's what it means. It means that I'm ready to give. That's what he loved him. It was expression that here, I'm going, love is giving. And he was ready to impart to him. He did not turn him down.
Right. No.
He looked at him and loved him. And the worst fate that can happen to the human soul,
yes,
is when the Lord says, I won't tell you. You get to the place that the Lord is not going to deal with you, work with you. It is the worst place on the planet that you can be. It is the most fearful place to think that you could be here and this expression be void. Not that he don't love your soul, but he don't love to give. He said, and he beheld him and he loved him. And that expression of love means that I am going to impart to you. Tell me what I need. Oh, that we could say today in a sincere heart to Jesus, Lord, would you tell me what I need? If there's a lack and it's not working, Lord, what do I need? And you know what? The Lord was faithful. He's dealing with us. He's faithful for this man. This man did not want to hear this.
That's right.
Don't tell me that. I remember one time I heard this news thing, this doctor saying what some of the trouble of our time was. This guy comes into his one of his patients. He has high blood pressure. And the doctor tells him, said, you have hypertension. It's not at a dangerous level. And said, I believe with the proper diet and exercise that you won't need medication. All you'll have to do, you can beat this. And the guy looks at the doctor and says, exercise? Diet? Don't you have some medicine? Just give me something. God's fixes isn't always going to suit you.
Amen.
It doesn't always work. It's a, Lord, would you flash lightning and boom thunder, and I'll get up tomorrow morning and I'll be patient. Sister Mary, that ain't the way it works. The Lord's going to come say, you're impatient. Lord, can you help me?
Lord.
You hang on. You hang on. I got the perfect prescription for you.
That's so.
You're going to have to hang on, and you're going to have to be diligent, because here comes your dose of patience. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. What must I do to be saved? Keep the commandments. Well, I've done that. What do I lack? One thing thou lackest. Jesus beheld him and loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Well, one thing ain't hard, is it?
No.
One thing. He wants to deal with us. One thing. Do you know what one thing is? This is what one thing is. See, this one thing is more than the idea of tangible $20 bills in your hand. This is an identity. What was this guy's name? Joe? John? George? No, his name was Rich Young Ruler. I don't think the other is actually that way, Young Ruler. He was a rich young, didn't even say his name because it didn't have to, because his identity was Rich Young Ruler. And what Jesus asked for was his identity. You're going to have to give me yourself. Give me yourself. One thing thou lackest, get rid of who you are and come and get a different name. Get something else. You want to, Jesus wasn't flirting around with this. He wasn't playing. The man asked him and he loved him. He loved him enough to tell him flat, straight, right to him, face to face, eye to eye. You want eternal life? Go sell all that you have. He says that to everybody? No. He said it to him. He didn't love everybody like that. He loved him enough to tell him personally, this is what you got to do. Say on, he should have said. Say on. Say on, Lord. How can I do it? Is there any way to do it? Are you serious? Say on. Say on, Lord. You know what the scripture says of this young man? Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He was sad. Other one said he went away sorrowful. He was sad at the saying and grieved. Well, it wasn't because he didn't have his heart on it. His heart was on more than just that grape. It was on what it was. We'll tell you the truth. People get too busy in this life and they're going to miss heaven for it. You can get too busy in this life and too wrapped up in tangible things and you're going to miss heaven, and the Lord has warned and warned and warned about that. You'll get so wrapped up in the tangible things that you'll lose your soul over it, when the Lord comes and says, I got something to say to you, you won't say on, because the Lord's going to say, let loose. You let loose of that stuff that's so important to you. Let it go. It ain't that important. See? But the Lord is dealing. If we'll let Him, we'll let Him. He's going to come to us and say, I got something to say. I wonder if He didn't say, got something to say. Brother Carl, got something to say. Sister Molly, got something to say. Sister Dina, got something to say. Says, Mary, got something to say. He's talking. Got something to say. What do you got to say? I want you to go here. Say on, Lord. I want you to say on, Lord. What do you got? What do you want? Lord dealt with this young man, and it wasn't a success. As far as we know, the Lord done His part. He come and ask him in the sincerity of his heart, what must I do to be saved? What, you want me to sugarcoat this? You want me to tell you something that ain't right? You want to find out when you get over there you missed? I want to tell you the truth on this earth. You need to get rid of what you got. You too hold on you. you're going to have to let it go. I know it's a hard saying, but you're just going to have to, you're going to have to let it go. I want to look at another passage of scripture over in Luke 12. Jesus, I'll tell you what, Jesus deals directly with the thing.
Yes, he does.
Over in Luke 12. Let's say thirteenth verse. It says, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother. Now I want to tell you right now, there's times that that could be a good prayer. Deal with their heart. But in most situations, the right prayer isn't, Lord, talk to my brother. The right prayer is, Lord, talk to me. Well, you go tell my wife. Lord, help my wife. Lord, help my brother. How about, Lord, help me? Jesus is willing to speak. He says to him, the company, one of the company said unto him, Master, speaking to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto the man, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto him, this is his answer. You have to get the scene. There was a situation to where the inheritance come time to do. It's a couple brothers. The brother takes the inheritance and isn't splitting it with his brother. The brother goes to the authority that he thinks that he can go to and says to him, Master, you've got some influence and power here. Speak to my brother about the dividing the inheritance. You would think, it didn't say he was wrong. You understand that? It didn't say he was wrong. It didn't say that his brother hadn't kept the inheritance. It didn't say, he just didn't say that. Jesus just said there's more important things than that. Jesus knew these people were all together. And you're all wound up about something. You're wound up about some earthly possession and your soul's rotten. Well, no, here I come from heaven. You can say in Jesus' word, here I come from heaven. I've come down here to be in flesh and be a man and show these people. People say I'm going to show them. That's what I come to do. I come down here to show them, so I ain't getting tangled up in that. So he says to the man, you're tangled up? Listen. This is how he responded to this man. I want to make this point, though. He responded to this man. Isn't that precious? He responded to this man. You know, old Ahab was quite a king, wasn't he? Go read the exploits of old Ahab. He got old Jezebel. They were a couple. They were something. You read the exploits of him. And listen, right down to the end, he wanted to know whether he should go up to Ramoth of Gilead. You remember? They got the prophet. They ended up saying, all the prophets made a big deal and said, yeah, you can go up. And Jehoshaphat says, what? Well, there's somebody else. And yeah, that's all you got. Nah, it's this other guy, but don't get him. He prophesies bad. And he said, no, I want to hear him. Surely out of all of them, somebody's going to be a dissenter. Okay. This is just too packed. So they get him, and you remember the story. I was always amazed at what a character Ahab was, and God still loved him enough to tell him the truth. He didn't listen to it. But he sent a prophet that had the truth that told him, if you go up there, When Israel comes back, you're going to be like a shepherd, or a sheep without a shepherd. You're not coming back. Why did God tell him that? You would have thought God would have just let him go. He ain't that willing to just let you go. He loves you. He loved old Ahab. He'd have loved nothing more than old Ahab to have repented and got out of all that stuff. He gave him one more chance to hear the word of the prophet. Wow. Well, Jesus comes and says to this man, here's his answer. Take heed and beware of covetousness.
Yes.
He went directly to that man's spiritual need. You want an answer from the Lord, you go get him to try to do something for your brother or deal with your wife, and we'll tell you what the Lord's going to do. He's going to look right into your spiritual life.
Yes.
He's going to deal with you.
That's right.
It's what you should want. Say, this man should have said, say on, Lord.
That's right.
Say on. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Alright? You're dealing with the man. I'm assuming this follows. And he spake a parable unto them. This is where the parable come from, that he wanted to get to this man about his emotional eruption that he had, where he's not contented. He probably thought about it all the time, lost sleep. He had a real problem. And the Lord comes along and wants to solve that problem for him. Well, go tell his brother to do that and be all right. You know the answer to all your problems isn't God making you a bed of roses. He can move the mountain, but he can also give you strength enough to climb it. He can move the difficulty. He can give you grace for the difficulty. Most of the time, the Lord's more interested in you getting grace for the place than we removing the place. And he'll let the place stay on many times and give us grace over the place. He spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat and drink and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is it he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God? That was this man's answer for wanting his brother to give him his inheritance. It got right to it, didn't it?
Yes.
You can get your inheritance and die and go to a devil's hell. We all better remember something. You can get your way totally in this world and lose your soul over it. Then what do you have at the end, and whose is it going to be? What you fought so hard for. So I fight my neighbor over 6 inches of ground, and I beat him and I win. And lift up my eyes in hell. That wouldn't be worth it. Jesus went right to the heart of the matter, as he normally did. John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I like Nicodemus. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I like him. He was a Pharisee, but he was an honest one. He was an honest down to the point that he couldn't deny the obviouses. He couldn't deny the things that was before him. Nicodemus did sneak to the Lord at night. Well, I don't hardly blame him. You can get the feelings, can't you, of what Nicodemus must have felt like. He was a ruler of the Jews. And he needed to talk to Jesus for his soul's sake, but he didn't want to go through the peer pressure that he had with the Pharisees and the people. So, he snuck there at night. But he went. Come on, let's give him some credit. He went, didn't he? I think that's the way that the Lord looked at it.
Yeah.
The Lord didn't say, well, you're shaming me here. You should do it boldly. Jesus knows what your weakness is, folks. Don't. You don't have to hide it. Jesus knows all about it. And I want to tell you, Jesus loved Nicodemus, and I'll tell you how I know how. Because he imparted to him.
Yes.
He imparted to him. There was a woman, a Samaritan woman one time that I can tell you Jesus loved her when she come to that well because he poured it out on her. He opened up and gave to her, and she became a minister of the gospel. She went and told everybody. Had him come back. Jesus imparted to her, gave to her. fully and freely gave out to her for a soul. Must needs I go by Samaria. For you must go by. Well, here's Nicodemus, snuck in at night. And then he erases the argument. I love Nicodemus. Anybody who was going to go and debate like the Pharisees did a lot of times would have held their position. Nicodemus lays it down and says, we know thou art of God. Ain't no more arguing. Say somebody's of God and then argue about what they say. Who you arguing against? You're arguing against God. He wouldn't want to argue against God. He was inquisitive. He wanted to know. But he wasn't going to argue with God. We know you're of God. Nobody can do these miracles unless God be with them. I acknowledge that. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus hadn't asked him that. Nicodemus didn't ask him anything. He just come to him and said, we know thou art of God. Why was Jesus saying this? You know, Jesus already knew what Nicodemus was wondering. He already knew what Nicodemus was needing. Hey, so he goes and says, no, except a man be born again, Nicodemus. Yeah. That's what you've been thinking about. Mm-hmm. That's what you was wondering about yesterday. Yeah. That's what you've been pondering about. Do you remember Nathaniel? You remember Nathaniel? Yeah. Nathaniel comes and Jesus away off says, now, here's Nathaniel, here's a man without guile. Here's a true, an Israelite indeed.
Yes, right.
Nathaniel says, see, they went and got him and said, come and see a man.
Right.
He was, I don't know about that. And they go, well, how do you know? Mm-hmm. I never met you before.
Right.
How do you know me? Right. Jesus said, it's under the fig tree. Nathaniel, my Lord. Well, what was the fig? They never, you know, the Bible don't say what that fig tree thing was. But I'm going to tell you, Nathaniel knew what the fig tree thing was. Nathaniel knew exactly what the Lord was talking about. Lord said, I was with you there. That was what? Oh, Lord. He must have had an experience. Jesus talking with him. Be gone. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, Nicodemus, listen. Our humanity, the veil of our flesh, keeps us somewhat blinded. They were so blinded, wasn't they?
Yeah.
He starts telling him about being born again. We're enlightened age. We know what that means.
Right.
He didn't know what that meant. Never heard it before. Nicodemus, let me love you. Speak on, Lord. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh. And whereth it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and you receive not our witness. If I had told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now listen, if you've ever thought of this man came in the sincerity of his heart to come to the Lord, pressing against all that he was, and knowing what he faced if he went this way. And Jesus loved him enough. What is probably the most What is probably the most famous verse in all the Bible? What is the most quotable verse?
For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
The most quotable, serious scripture in all the Bible, Jesus was looking right into a man's eyes when he said that. That he loved and was seeking him. For God so loved the world. Why, that must have penetrated. It wasn't like me saying it. It wasn't like Brother Carl quoting it. It was Jesus Christ quoting it right directly to the man's needs. That, you remember when he looked at Peter and something happened? That look done something to Peter. I want to tell you, there's people that blew back from the Lord. The Lord said, some said they was astonished for a man didn't speak like that.
That's right.
Spoke with power and authority. What do you think? The words coming right from the Lord that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I must have penetrated. We know that it done something because when Jesus was crucified and you remember who ended up doing it and taking the body and all? Well, we know it resurrected, but you know what? The only other time that he's mentioned, he didn't seem like he cared who saw him then. It's recorded in the Bible. Everybody knew it. And sneaking at night now because the Lord had dealt with him. Speak on. You know, we ain't born knowing everything, folks. And I'll say this, we know very little. And when you think you know a lot, you don't know much. We need the Lord to help reveal to us who and what we are and what stage we're at. I say we need the Lord to get saved. I say we need the Lord to be saved. And we need the Lord to stay saved. Need him all the time. It's because he's on the ship that it don't go down. Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Forget the condemnation to people. Just stop it. Because Jesus didn't come to do it. He come that we might be saved. I want one other scripture in Luke 10. Luke 10 and 38 says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. I don't know what you think about it, but it seems to me like that was just a tad bit of an accusation, the way that's framed. Lord, do you not care? I mean, you're the one that knows the thoughts people have. You know everything. You must know that Martha's shirking her duties. Or Mary's shirking her duties. You have to know that. And the way logics works is that knowing the Lord knows, he has to know that. And he sees that and knows that. The reason that he hasn't said anything to Martha, or Mary, hasn't said anything to Mary, is because he don't care. Lord, don't you care? This ain't fair. It ain't fair, Lord. How many times we start doing God stuff? We'll deal with people. I'll start dealing with people, do God stuff. You don't know me. And I don't know you. Enough to start saying, you need this, you need, do we? No, we don't. It sounded to me like a little bit of an accusation. But the Lord's up to the test here. The Lord's totally up to it. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, oh Martha, Martha. I think that's there twice for a reason. It's an attention getter. Martha, Martha. You ever have somebody do that to you? Marty, Marty. I don't know. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away. There's a lot of different thoughts on what that means, and I can take about any of them as being possible. Possibly he was suggesting that they only needed one course to the meal and not five. It would make sense that he'd say that. Martha, you could have made one thing and let it go. But no matter what that is, Mary chose the good part, whether we eat or we don't. You'll get hungry again, Martha, but what Mary gets, she'll take to heaven with her. It's much more valuable. You would be much better off, Martha. You know, I find it amazing that the characters in the Bible that came to the Lord for help about somebody else, he didn't play the game. I've been in counseling sessions or been at the altar or been in counseling sessions where somebody comes and they want to bash their spouse. And you know what I say? They ain't here. No running down no spouse because they ain't here to deal with. You're here to deal with. So the only progress we can make is to make sure you get grace. Make sure you get a hold of the Lord because the other party ain't here. Can't deal with them. Jesus said that, now Martha, I'm going to love you, Martha. I'm going to love you. If Mary comes and says to me, you know, Lord, I just love sitting at your feet. He may say, you get it all that you can, and in the process of it, help Martha. I don't know. Makes sense to me that if you're going to eat, somebody's going to cook it, or somebody's going to gather it or grain. You're going to have to get it some way. It might be possible that the Lord would say, I want you to fill up Mary until you can do it with joy and help Martha. But tell her something. But he ain't going to tell it to Martha. He'd tell that to Mary. And to Martha, he says, you're cumbered about with too much, Martha. You're putting too much on the natural and not enough on the spiritual. But my point of it for this message is, he loved Simon. He loved Nicodemus. He loved the rich young ruler. He loved Mary. And he loves you. And he will come. And he will many times say, I got something to say. It isn't going to bust through your walls and make you hear it. But he will many times come and say, I got something to say. I got something that'd be really, really helpful to you. He loved that brother that came and asked. He loved him. He loved him enough to tell him not to be covetous, to get a hold of the realities of it. And he loves us today, and I believe he wants to deal with each and every one of us. It's not the Lord that don't talk. It's that we won't allow our ears to hear it. You pray for me.